Mic check.
Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you're a true player.
This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
That boy is good.
Good and terrible.
You shut your mouth.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Greetings and salutations, friends of Southwest Florida. It is a hump day Wednesday, which is weird because we weren't here Monday, so it doesn't really feel like a hump day. Feels like a Tuesday. Tuesday has a feel. Wednesday has a feel. Thursday has a feel. Hope you're all doing great here today. I am Craig Sheeman. Pete Shepherd is in Bonita from his palatial home studio. We have Rick Church behind the glass today instead of Chris, and we are ready to go for the next 4 hours. We will talk with Keith Smith from Yahoo Sports, covers the NBA, see what their plan is after we heard what the NHL's plan was yesterday. We have an exciting rocket launch here in the state of Florida at 4:33 this afternoon. We might dial that in to have a little fun as well. Phone number, not going to give it to you. Text number, same though, 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. Pete Shepherd, how are you?
Wait, whoa. So now we're day 9 still without phones, except for the hotline.
This is like Ted Koppel on Nightline during that Iranian hostage crisis. Day 444 is how we start the entire broadcast. We're going to start doing that now.
Or it's like a Groundhog Day again. I'm waiting to hear Sonny and Cher, I Got You, Babe, every day at 2:02.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. What in the hell is going on? It's unheard of. It's unprecedented.
This is unprecedented. Now, I was told on Friday the new...
Well, you go around the building and start kicking ass and taking names. Well, I swear to God. Do I have to come down there and do something?
No, we don't want you here. No, we're good.
No, you don't want me there. Yep. I tell you that. You do not want me there right now.
So I was told
Nine
on Friday...
freaking days.
Hold on. I was told on Friday the new piece of equipment that came in, they installed, and it arrived broken. That's what I was told Friday. Then Monday was the holiday. It arrived. Yeah, I don't know. That's all I can tell you. They're working on it. And so help me God, I promise you this, people of Southwest Florida. If it gets up and running, we're going all calls. We're going to burn this new system into the ground. We're going to just go wall-to-wall phone calls and open up the phones. Because I'm tired of it.
I swear to God, I've never seen anything like it in my life. 35 years, going on 35 years in this business, I've never seen a radio station not have phones for 9 days.
I never have either. Here, do a talk show and tie your hands behind your back.
Is the whole building that way? All of our cluster in there?
I have no idea. I the other station.
See, I thought sometimes the only way to get things done, really get things done, is to do what we're doing right now. Because no one listens, you know, and nice guys do finish last a lot of the time. I'm not a nice guy. I am a nice guy overall. But when it comes to this kind of crap, I'm not very tolerant after 9 days. And nobody in their right mind would, because it affects the station, affects your and my livelihood. And I am sick of it. Get it done, for Christ's sake. Unbelievable. Somebody give me an answer. Why my livelihood is affected 9 freaking days without a phone line. It's absurd. It's unprecedented. I've never seen anything like it in my life. And I've seen some pretty incredible things in radio and TV. 9 days. Broken parts. This should have been done in 24 hours. Give me a break. I'm done. Anyway.
I did not get in your way. I concur 100%. I do.
Somebody give me an answer. Don't give me broken parts. Don't give me it takes 9 days. Holy Christmas.
Yeah.
God almighty, this is not brain surgery. It's a damn phone line. I've seen space shuttles fixed quicker than this.
By the way,
I'm
pretty excited about the Elon Musk launch today. Look, I'm a bit of a rocket geek. I used to watch all the space shuttle launches, all of them and all the landings, and then we would track them in the sky at night. You can see, like, it looks like a little star floating across. I'm a big geek on this thing. So for the first time in 10 years, we're launching actual NASA astronauts into space, but by a private venture, Elon Musk. And now on a clear day, I can see these launches, his test launches from my house. But it's a little cloudy to the north. But I am going to be locked in today at 4:30 on the air watching this. Hopefully,
my wife's on a conference call. I had to go out. She had to go outside and shut the door in the middle of the night.
Well, ironically, her phones are working.
Oh.
Jeez. Other than that.
I mean, you know, 9 days, really. I'm at a loss. And I apologize to the listeners for 9 days. And thank you for hanging with us on the text line and, you know, with all the kind words that you've had. You probably couldn't even call to complain because they don't work, the phone lines.
But the text lines do, so thank you. 239-337-ESPN.
Yeah.
By the way, you can follow us on Twitter at Craig ESPN, at PShep326, and at 993ESPN. Other than that, like I said, we got Rick Church on the other side of the glass for the next 2 days. Rick,
so on a very on a very happy note again. Happy birthday to his son Evan. Had an unbelievable drive by party yesterday at his home. It looked really cool on Facebook. So congratulations to Evan and Rick and his lovely wife. It sounded like an awesome time.
It was, and thank you, boys, for the birthday shout-out. That was the perfect topping as he was eating his Five Guys burger.
Nice!
Last night. So, yeah, thank you. It was a great day.
I really like the Five Guys fries. Did he get the fries, too? I like the fries.
It's funny. We ordered we each ordered a burger, and we got two medium fries, right? So yeah. I ordered online, went and did the curbside pickup thing.
Yes.
So I pull the two cups, you know, they come in those white cups,
yeah, right?
And they're both just overspilling with French fries.
Yeah.
After I pull them out, like half the bag is still filled with more French fries.
I know. They are not chintzy.
They are generous with the fries.
No doubt.
Bless their hearts.
I like them when they're extra salty. That's my only complaint. You get a batch that didn't have a lot of salt versus the ones that have a lot of salt. I like the ones with a lot of salt. Very good.
It's always something.
Yeah. I'm not complaining. I'm a big fan. They're just even better, Pete, with a lot of salt.
Oh, get a salt packet then and sprinkle
it
on.
I do, but that's something I've got to do now, and I don't know.
Well, that's great. Walt Disney World plans to reopen their theme parks with the Magic Kingdom and Animal Kingdom on July 11th and Epcot and Hollywood Studios on July 15th. Now, Keith Smith is going to join us, who covers the NBA for Yahoo Sports at 3:30.
Yes.
Also, this part of it has nothing to do with the NBA and their plans. This is separate. He says Disney World reopening the theme parks has little to no impact on hosting the NBA. Disney was always going to reopen during the period they hoped to host the NBA. Disney and share that plan as part of the NBA proposal. So
that's good.
And Keith's based in Orlando, by the way, I believe. So
yeah. Speaking of Disney, it's funny you mentioned that because later on in the day, and again due to our stupid phone situation, you will be taking on Rick in Wikipedia today. And today, 1933, Disney released the movie Three Little Pigs. We will do Three Little Pigs trivia between you and Rick.
Really?
Later on today. How about that?
Oh.
A little fun.
Sounds good. I can't believe you can get five questions out of that. I know you can get
I got nine.
Three.
I got nine.
Nine?
I got nine questions. Actually,
wow, okay.
I got to be honest here, a little peek behind a curtain. That was probably my my favorite bedtime story. Not for me, but for when I read to my kids when they were small. We would ham that up pretty good. They really liked that. So I like that.
There was a Bugs Bunny version of it back in the day, and the Big Bad Wolf was playing a trumpet. Remember? I don't know if you remember. It's kind of a musical type of that was really, really well
there
done.
There are different versions. In fact, the story is as old as like 1840, and it wasn't until the 1933 movie came out, but it was almost 100 years old at that point.
Is that going to be on the quiz?
No, I just gave you a freebie right there.
Oh,
right?
Shoot.
No need to take notes on the other side of the glass. I wanted to share this. Pete, I'm sure you saw this. I thought this was pretty good. Tom Brady wrote nine lessons learned from his golf outing on. So have you seen this? He did it on Instagram. It's very good, actually. I like it. Have you seen it?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Have you seen the Tom Brady the nine lessons that he learned on? So I'm going to read them. They're very
yes,
good.
Yes, I did.
I
yes,
like these very much.
Fascinating stuff. Yes,
all right. This
absolutely.
Comes from the match over the weekend. Number one, it is amazing what happens when groups of people come together for common good. Of course, they raised $20 million. Their goal was 10. Mm-hmm. That was pretty good. Number two, Peyton is still as clutch as ever. Nice compliment for Peyton Manning. Number three, should we have list music for this? I don't know.
I think so. Absolutely.
Restart the show. We're still flummoxed. All right, let's, Rick, I'll give you a moment here to get settled in there and fire the list. Are we ready?
And now, a list.
All right, again, first one, amazing when all people come together for common good. Peyton Manning clutches effort. Number three, I did not escape the inclement weather. Heavy stuff all day in capital letters. Number four, these are Tom Brady's lessons learned from the golf outing this weekend. I shouldn't wear the same pants to golf in that I wear to church. Those are the ones that he split in the rear end. Yes, absolutely. Number five, as great as at Phil Mickelson is as a golfer, he is a better man, coach, and teammate, and potentially has the best calves on the PGA Tour. Fact.
And fresh. Yep.
Number six, I really enjoy golf. At halftime of football games, we get checked for concussions. In golf, you get refreshments. Much better.
Yes.
Number seven, it was nice to be the young guy again. Actually, that's true. He was the youngest of the foursome. I think Phil is eligible for the senior tour in a month, actually.
Yeah.
Number eight, at Tiger Woods was a great host and champion, and I was especially thankful he missed that putt on the seventh hole. Had he made it, I would have just gone home. And number nine, I'm sticking to my day job. There you go. I thought it was a great list.
Great stuff. Yeah, it was a great event. And then I'm sure you saw the other part of this related to it today is that Phil Mickelson wants, as we've been talking about, wants annual matches with the likes of Steph Curry and Michael Jordan and Brady again. So, yeah, we said this. This should be I hope there's more of these.
And
not necessarily limited to four. Eight would be cool. I could see, eight would be perfect.
You know what? This is so funny. I'm good with the four. This is like the college football playoff. I'm good with four. You're always looking to expand things.
Well, I'm good with four, too, and it is more intimate. When it's just four, it's kind of – but you could have four teams of two. That's all. And it would still be kind of cool. But, I agree with you. Overall, I like the four, but I could handle eight.
Now, you got, like Phil said, you got to get the right personalities. The golf is only half of it. You got to get some people that will talk, ham it up for the cameras. Yeah. And then I think it was even Charles Barkley who said yesterday that the PGA, if they're going to play without fans starting next month, they need to wire everybody up for sound. It'll make it so much better. Totally agree with it. I don't know if the players would agree to do it, but I think that would be fantastic. You and I were talking about this a little bit yesterday. This is the new next level of sports broadcasting. We got to get more inside stuff. We got to get more hearing the athletes talk. So
I'm just wondering, on people's backswing sometimes, if the IBF is stuck, that whatever it's called, the backpack.
Yeah,
that you're sticking.
I thought that happened a couple of times, too.
Yeah, when he split his pants, that also fell off of him when he did it. He was such a, his torque, whatever.
Yeah.
So I don't know how comfortable a lot of players would be, or if there's a way to, as long as it doesn't hinder their swing, it would be great if a couple of guys were mic'd up every single, just like in the NFL.
Yep. Speaking of Charles Barkley, I was listening to an interview he did yesterday on my friend Tony Bruno's radio show. He said the MJ comments. Remember when we got the old audio that came out yesterday about MJ talking about Isaiah and MJ's next sentence was Chuck didn't want him on the team either. Barkley insists that that was not him. He was talking about Chuck Daly, the head coach of the Olympics and the former Pistons coach.
Oh.
He said that was not me. He was talking about Chuck Daly, which I found incredulous.
We didn't even think of that.
Well, because Isaiah was Chuck's guy. That's what that's why we didn't even think of it. But and of course, Chuck Daly no longer with us to defend his position.
One of the great coaches of all time, and jeez,
Isaiah would have been. Isaiah's still around, and Isaiah's kind of hurt by all this, even to this day. But he said, "I'm sure if you told him it was Chuck Daly, he would have been crushed." I thought they were pretty close. So
I thought so too.
Yeah, but Chuck isn't one to spew out lies, and that's what he said yesterday. So, and he even said Michael Jordan lied.
And he also said last week on Levitard's show that that he and Michael Jordan, you know, he said what they said. He goes, "We're not patching anything up. It's
right,
not going to happen."
Right, that's done. And they used to be really close.
Yeah.
So for them to be former friends and for Barkley to come out and say, look, it's obvious Michael lied on The Last Dance, I thought that was another pretty bold statement, but that's why we love Charles Barkley, because he has no filter, and he says what's on his mind.
Huh.
So, yeah, a fascinating little sidebar to all of that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say some more football news, too. I start off with the Tom Brady list. Noah Spence, former Buccaneer and now Saints player, torn ACL training away from the team.
Unbelievable. Right around this time, we'd have one of those injuries right around now, right? If we had OTAs.
This is when the Chargers normally get hurt.
Yeah. Chargers lose half their secondary during this week every year, it seems. And it always seems to be a non-contact drill. So many of these injuries happen, non-contact drill, or in the weight room or stretching or whatever it is. It's amazing.
Now, interesting sidebar, as you know, teams are not required to pay salaries of players that, you know, for non-football injuries. Here he is working away from the facility, presumably at home or wherever. Technically, the Saints would have the right not to pay him, but I wonder, you got to have different rules for this coronavirus deal, right? Because the players, you expect the players to get into shape. That means they got to work out. They put themselves at a small amount of risk, and these things are going to happen. On the other hand, players have been known to lie when they get injured away from their sport. You know, whether it be Jeff Kent, his motorcycles, or whatever. So I don't know what you do here. I think the guy should get paid. I think he only had a one-year deal for like 900 G's or something like that. But still, I don't know what you do here. But typically, the NFL would not have to pay you if you get injured away from the facility or a football game.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting. There's other players. You know, we've seen on a lot of sports, I think, that might be facing the same problems. Baseball is still we got a major issue here, with, as we said yesterday. And I think it's much worse. It's much worse than I even thought. And you started – I started tweeting out and breaking down some of the numbers. Some are going to – and this is why it just ain't going to happen. You know, Jeff Passan, the salary scale in the proposal is this. So if you're making – the league minimum is $563,500. We said last week with what it was like $580.
Right.
It's $563,500.
Almost nailed.
So, So you'll get paid at 90%. Okay, fine. Now, if your salary is between the minimum and $1 million, you get paid 72.5%. And if you're paid $1 million to $5 million, you're paid at 50%. Yada yada yada. Mm-hmm. So here's an example: would be that. So a player's called up from the minor leagues, his original salary would be the minimum of $563,500. His prorated salary would be $285,228. He'd be due to make 90% of that, $256,706. He could also make an additional $5,512 in bonus money. But here is where that's just a guy being called up from the minors. The bigger thing is this. Here's one for you.
Yeah.
Here's what the cut would mean for the Yankees.
Okay.
Cole will go from 36 mil to 8 mil. Stanton from 26 mil to 6 mil.
Yikes.
Tanaka from 23 mil to 5.5 mil.
Yeah.
Hop from 17 mil to 4.5. Chapman from 16 mil to 4.25 mil. Britton from 13 mil to 3.5 mil. Mm-hmm. Paxton from 12.5 mil to 3.5 mil. Lemieux from 12 mil to 3.4 mil. And that's what we're looking at. Hicks from 10.7 mil to 3 mil. Severino, 10.5 to 3 mil. Judge, 8.5 down to 2.5 mil. And Sanchez, 5 mil down to 1.64 million.
That's all pretty drastic. That's all pretty
But you
drastic.
Tell me, you know, the Coles of the world, the guys with these kind of contracts, the 36 mil down to 8, they're going to lose 28 million this year. I don't see them coming up. And again, it was a low ball proposal at first, and I understand that. There's still some negotiation to go here. There's still time to repair it. I have a scintilla of hope, guys, a scintilla of, and very, very, very small, but still there, that they can get this resolved. Hopefully the NHL and the NBA will put some pressure on them, but you know what? I don't think some of these guys care about that either.
Well, now I
you go from 36 mil to 8 mil. I don't know if that's going to sit very well.
Okay, so does that player sit here and go, well, it's not worth it for me to come back for 8 mil? The average fan goes, 8 mil is a lot more than zero, and that's where the public image is going to go back and forth. I don't know if these players, I mean, yeah, Aaron Judge, 8 million to 2 million. Does he want to come back for 2 million? Mm. Plus, you know, guys like Cole already have 100 million in the bank already. So they could do whatever they want. They've got bleep you money. They can do whatever they want.
Dopey, the text line is working. We just haven't got to read them yet. There's, you know.
Yes.
They're all good stuff. They're all good stuff.
I do like Rock'em Sock'em Robots who texted, and you get power restored faster after a hurricane than it takes to get your phones fixed.
Irma, I had my power back in 5 days.
80s Miami Party says, thanks 2020, hashtag phones. Puna Gorder Cliff from Minnesota says, Pete has every right to rant about the phones being down still. I'm kind of surprised it took so long for him to go on that rant.
Tractor Guy says, Pete, you're getting paid. Tell me how your livelihood is being affected. It affects the show. It affects every radio show in the country when you don't have phone lines like this. Somebody said, oh, you need... Then Totino says, well, no callers to help me formulate my thoughts. Oh, boo-hoo, maybe try an original thought. I don't have any original thoughts, Totino, so you know that. So, but thanks for listening.
And you're not boo-hooing. It's been nine bleeping
days.
I'm not boo-hooing.
I'm not boo-hooing. You don't understand what... It goes a lot deeper than just this show. Let's put it that way. When you don't have phones like this, and if it's true throughout the building, I'm sure there's a lot of frustration from every show because it does hurt. There are segments of the show that we take calls in that are sponsored. That's how it affects my livelihood because it affects people that can't call in during sponsored segments. And it's like that throughout the country when you don't have phone lines. So that's all.
Fact.
I'm off my soapbox. We're all happy thoughts for the rest of the day.
Happy thoughts.
Happy thoughts. Yep.
You know, I actually came
Bob
in
Ross.
Here in a great mood. And I'm still
Me
in a
too.
Great mood.
I'm in a great mood.
I got a lot of rest last night. Oh,
me too.
I knocked out some sleep last night. Unbelievable. Went to bed early, slept in late, had a good workout in last night. I feel good. I'm feeling good right now.
I feel great. I feel great. So, what else is going? I mean, the NFL, again, it seems things are progressing. Absolutely, things are progressing. Every stadium now seems to be opening up a drive-through. Not a drive-in, movie theater.
Oh, yeah.
We've seen Hard Rock do it. Foxborough, they're doing it. A lot of places around the country are doing it for now. It certainly seems like teams are preparing to play, that it's going to happen without without fans, at least initially, or a lot of fans. The NHL is way ahead of everybody right now. It's just a question of the when they're going to start, and it looks like somewhere early as July 1st, somewhere between July 1st and July 15th. I did hear Gary Bettman on this morning on with Golic and Wingo, and I don't know if he's in your sound street, Craig, or not.
Bettman? But it's not from this morning. But yeah, what did he say?
Okay, because it was what he said was interesting was about the we talked about yesterday as far as the cities in Canada goes, and he came right out and said it may come down to where the Canadian cities might not be able to be one of the two hubs. So the Canadian cities available. All the cities are Chicago, Columbus, Dallas, Edmonton, Vegas, L.A., Minnesota, Pittsburgh, Toronto, Vancouver. So obviously Edmonton, Toronto, and Vancouver are three out of the 10 potential two-hub cities. But they may not be able to do that.
Well, I agreed with your statement yesterday that is probably the reason they didn't commit yet. I heard another thing. That the reason Tampa was not considered is they don't have enough additional ice for practice sessions and to have everybody in town.
I understand that. That's what it would have to be.
Right.
They would have to come. They would have to go either skate in Miami or skate over here.
Yeah.
Are there any other minor league rinks in Florida that I don't know? Oh, up in Jacksonville, right? There's one up there.
Sure. But I guess they're looking for a hub city that everybody can skate at the same time, you know, in the afternoon.
Yeah, I get it.
So apparently they're short of facilities in Tampa. That's the only reason they didn't consider them. But yeah, I think they got to wait to the whole Canadian thing because they would love to have one of these hubs be in Canada. But
yeah, I'm sure they would, especially Toronto. I mean, I would say that would probably be their first choice if they could have. And there's probably not going to be fans in there. So, but still, it's just the buzz around the city. Toronto is an awesome hockey town. Vancouver and Edmonton are good. Yeah. But it's sort of, I mean, Vancouver's, you know, they're great fans up there, but it's the West Coast. It's different. Edmonton, especially, a little more isolated in Alberta with Calgary. Toronto, you're talking about an original six team that would be, and even if there were no fans, it would create a tremendous buzz in even, you know, the Buffalo part of the United States, upstate New York area, obviously, and all of Toronto is a great, great, great hockey fans. They're as frustrated as anybody with that team over the years. Yeah. But so I would think that would be one of the team, and then I have no idea who the other team would be, really. To me, it makes sense right now to be Dallas because it's Texas.
Right.
Seems a lot easier, but you don't know. But the fact that they're this far ahead already is I'm pleasantly surprised. Pleasantly surprised.
Well, I had mixed feelings about that too, as to whether they were really ahead. I mean, Gary Bettman, he did break a little news yesterday, the 24 teams, and we're stopping the regular season. But the fact that we didn't have any real dates, we didn't have any real cities. I was expecting a little more than we got yesterday, but it was something, and it's something's better than nothing. But
well, I think again, like to your point, though, they have to. I mean, we got 10 cities, and I'm surprised that there were that many, to be honest with you. And I think that the Canadian thing, they have to wait, and not just Canada. He said when people come over here from once they get back to their hosts, their cities. So if you're a Canadian and you're playing for Las Vegas or you're playing for the Bruins or whatever,
yeah.
You know, those are the cities he's talking about. And you're going to have to be quarantined in most places for a couple of weeks. So it's not just Canadian. There's other people, other NHL players in Europe that are going to have to fly back, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Not everybody's in the United States and Canada. Some have gone back to Europe, and they're going to have to come back here and be quarantined for a couple of weeks, which means they're going to have to come back here in the middle of June.
Yeah.
At the latest to get ready if July 1st is indeed the date to start.
All right, from the NHL to the NBA, we'll talk with Keith Smith from Yahoo Sports next hour. Also, tomorrow, the NFL owners vote on the new onside kick rule. There are a couple new twists to that we want to talk about when we come back. Sound Street is around the corner, and we are just warming up here on a Wednesday. Also, the greatest games in NFL history presented by Affordable Air and Heat continues on Thursday with the 2006 AFC Championship game between Tom Brady's Patriots and Peyton Manning's Colts. The greatest games in NFL history. Brought to you by Affordable Air and Heat. We are affordable online at affordableairconditioningandheating.com. Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Follow the guys on Twitter at PSHEP326 and at CraigESPN. This is Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Rick Church on the other side of the glass. The police sending out an SOS. All right. Coming up next hour, we're going to talk with Keith Smith from Yahoo Sports, talk about the NBA. What is their plan? What is their follow-up after we heard yesterday what the NHL will do? Football owners tomorrow, Pete, are going to vote on the new onside kick rule.
I've been trying to bring this up for 2 days, but we just get sidetracked.
Yeah.
And they've altered, and Mr. Know-It-All brought up a nice tweet about it as well, or text about it as well, in the Stony Brook text line. And now today they've updated it again of what it's supposed to be. In case you don't know what it is, the NFL has now clarified the rules proposal for an alternative. The Eagles started this, and I think it's interesting. They proposed allowing 1 4th and 15 scrimmage play from the 25-yard line of the team kicking off. It can only be done in regulation. That's big.
Right.
Because initially they didn't say that either.
That's new. Right.
and be used twice in a game. So it can only be used twice in a game. So should the team attempting to play succeed, it would keep the ball. If the defense is successful, its offense gets the ball at the spot where the play is blown dead. A regular onside kick would remain an option.
Yeah, Mr. Know-It-All acted like he thought it might be eliminated or replaced. No, that is still an option. They're not getting rid of it. But it has like a 1% success rate, so they're looking at other plans here to make things more
exciting. So recent rule changes regarding alignments on onside kicks and run-ups for kicking team players have turned the exercise into something of a relic attempted, again, because as you said, it's just not a high percentage. So after the kicking team notifies the ref it wants to attempt the 4th and 15 play, it would need to reach its 40-yard line to convert. However, this is what I brought up. We did mention a couple of days ago. However, penalties incurred on the previous play, such as a field goal or extra point, would apply and would change the line of scrimmage for the play, which would remain a 4th-and-15 attempt.
Mm-hmm.
So, in other words, if you get backed up to on a play down to your 5, it'd still be 4th-and-15. You just have to get to the 20. You know what I'm saying? Not
conversely, if it works in your favor, you could be 4th-and-15 from your 40. Now you're in Hail Mary range.
Yes, already. So once a team has opted for the scrimmage play, that decision sticks unless the team calls a timeout before running the 4th-and-15 play. It could then notify the ref it has decided to kick off instead and do so. If the offense has run the alternative play and been flagged for a penalty, the yardage is marked off and another scrimmage play is run. Switching to kicking off instead is barred in that scenario. So if you run a penalty, if you're offside, or you're at false start, okay, it's 5 yards. So now instead of 4th-and-15, it's 4th-and-20. You can't switch to kicking off, but you still, now you're screwed. Now you're 4th-and-20.
Right.
But the one thing that is not here, now the game clock would run for the play through a 25-second play clock would be enforced. So
wait a minute. Wait, I read today.
Game clock would not run. Would not run for the play.
It's going to be an untimed down now. That was the new thing. So,
yes, because before that could have been manipulated.
Right.
Now I want to know is what if you're 4th-and-15,
yeah,
and you decide to do the 4th-and-15,
yeah,
and it's a 5-yard illegal contact play, automatic first down. So it's not passive, it's 5 yards, automatic. So I guess automatic first down. So
I think all the rules apply. Yeah,
then you don't lose a play and you get the first down.
You're in good shape at that point.
Yeah,
matters how much time is left on the clock. I was against this at first because it seemed so foreign. It seemed kind of hokey. It seemed kind of XFL-ish or AAF-ish. But I'm starting to warm up to it. I'll tell you what, I'm going to be nervous as heck if my team's ever in the lead and the other team's doing all this stuff. But
well, they've limited to 2 times, which is another amendment, so to speak, because last week they didn't have it.
Now, presumably, that allows you to do it at the end of each half if you'd like, but boy, if you've got 2 in your pocket going into the fourth quarter, and you're down within 15 or less points,
I think it's a great point at the end of the first half. Yeah. A lot of that happening.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So do you like the rule? Do you like it if it passes?
Yeah. It's grown on me a little bit more. I still like the thrill of the onside kick because I think it's one of the most fascinating plays in football. I know it doesn't work a lot, but you still get that adrenaline rush, don't you? When it's like, yeah. Oh man, is this the time?
It seems to me like kickers are getting better at kicking. I mean, back in our day, they just ground 10 or 11 yards and everybody have a scrum. Yep. Now they're getting it to bounce perfectly. They're getting better at it. I would almost think they need to – I know they changed the rules a couple years ago for player safety. You can only have 4 guys on one side of the ball or whatever. If they could tweak that, but then you're going to have a lot of train wreck concussion-type plays there, scramble for that ball. But I think it's close to being exciting. The receiving team gets it 99% of the time, but, man, I don't know. I think we're close to breaking through on figuring out how to do it.
Now, is college going to adopt this rule?
Well, not this year. It's too late.
Not this year, and it's still not being voted in this year because some people wanted to do it as a preseason, and in the preseason, see how it worked out. But since we're probably not going to have a preseason,
yeah,
I don't know. My guess is it probably won't get voted on this year, but if it does, college football will adopt it. There's no doubt. I have no doubt in my mind.
So you think the NFL owners will pass on it? They won't. They won't pass the vote. They won't get 2/3 majority or whatever they need, or the 24 votes or whatever.
Or I don't know if they can still table it for later on.
They do that a lot.
Can they do that?
Anytime a rule comes up, they like to table it for another year and think it over and talk it over amongst themselves for a year or two. They rarely pass something new and radical on the first try. I mean, I think even the 2-point conversion they tabled for a while before they finally
did.
Now that seems normal.
Yep, in the last 2 years, less than 10% of the onside kicks succeeded. But still, I mean, I don't think that's horrible. I for that kind of a play, I don't think that's a horrible. I don't think it's horrible.
Yeah, I like it the way it is. You know me, I like a lot of things the way they are. I'm that guy that's slow to change. I don't want football to become too Mickey Mouse. I don't want a team that's done a nice job on a defensive stand with the game on the line, and then the other team gets the ball back again, fourth and 15. I still have to get used to that. I mean, you should be rewarded for stopping, or not stop. I mean, I guess you would have just given up a touchdown if you went to onside kick mode. I don't know.
And I understand, I could see it being really necessary if there's like, you're down to like 15 seconds on the clock, and the play, you go fourth and 15, for me 25, you get to the 40. Now, remember, the game clock's not running.
Right.
Because you can't do it in order. It's not running, and you get out of bounds. But it also, let's not forget this. There's a lot of times where, and people forget this, even the Patriots, the Malcolm Butler game, the Super Bowl, people forget. You know who had the ball at the end of that game, don't you? Seattle had the ball. Yeah. Seattle had the ball and a chance to, in fact, if I'm not mistaken, Russell Wilson threw a Hail Mary at the end. They had the ball. There were other times, too, where, where players have, I think if this rule were in effect, even last year or many years ago, 5, 10 years ago, you would have had teams go for fourth and 15 with, say, under 2 minutes to go or, say, 90 seconds to go, not really, and not get it. However, what really happened was, and I can, you can verify this too, Craig, they kick off instead, and some knucklehead will fumble. You get the ball back. I mean, that does happen.
Yes, it does.
Teams do shoot themselves in the foot sometimes.
Yeah,
it does happen. So I'm wondering, would if this does pass, would teams be more inclined to go for it with? I understand going for it is like less than 25, 30 seconds. I get it, but I'm wondering if there's like 2 minutes or less to go, will they be more inclined to go for it then?
Yeah,
or take their chances on the kickoff and hope for a three and out or whatever and that way. So it's interesting to me.
No doubt.
But teams do shoot themselves in the foot late in games on kickoffs. And there's a lot of games, I think people forget possessions in a lot of these Super Bowls, who had the ball at the end, really, with a chance to win it. Like Patriots against the Giants.
Yep.
Same scenario in 2000, in both cases, in 07 and in 2011. They had Hail Marys at the end.
Yep.
People forget about it because they remember the plays before that. They remember, and rightly so. I get it. Same thing with Seattle. Seattle had a chance to still win that Super Bowl despite the Malcolm Butler interception and all that. And there have been other Super Bowls. There have been other games, certainly regular season and playoffs, where that has been the case. We forget. I mentioned I say this to you all the time.
The catch.
The catch.
Yes.
The Cowboys are marching down the field.
Absolutely.
And marching down the field, Rafael Septien is warming up, and it was Danny White, I think, got sacked and fumbled. I believe that was the case. It was that or Dorsett fumbled.
There was a play, either the last play or the last play, where somebody made a catch from Danny White, and he was off and running, and it was a grab the back of your jersey game saving tackle.
It was. It might have been. It might have been Tony Hill. It might have been. Who would have been back then? Was it Drew Pearson? It might have been one of those guys back then.
Absolutely.
And it was you're right. It was an absolute game-saving time. And I remember, I had a hockey game, and I had my equipment on. I was like, I'm not leaving. I was going to be late for warm-up. But it was people forget that. The Cowboys really should have pulled that game out.
Yep.
They really should have. Danny White got sacked and fumbled right at the end at midfield or something like that. It was crazy.
The legend of Danny White would have grown that day. Instead of us talking about Joe Montana all the time, we might be talking about what a great quarterback Danny White was, who was probably the best backup quarterback in the history of the NFL.
Absolutely. And could punt. He was an all-pro punter to boot.
Yep. Yeah, he always,
a pro ball punter.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, coming up, we got a trip down Sound Street. Next hour, Keith Smith from Yahoo Sports joins us to talk NBA and what their plans are moving forward, and an explosive story out of Arizona State involving Bobby Hurley and his wife and the AD and a booster, and it's nuts. I'll explain that to you later on as the show continues. Stay with us. Scheman and Shepherd on a Wednesday, a hump day Wednesday. By the way, if you missed any of our show yesterday or today, don't forget you can always get Scheman and Shepherd on demand, available at the 99.3 ESPN app, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcast. Scheman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Taking a cruise through all the sound.
But they're not going to rook us.
Don't you ever talk about me!
About you.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
I can say anything I want. That's the beauty of this country.
I'm not laughing about it. You think this is funny? I take this serious.
It's time for
Sound Street on Scheman and Shepherd.
All right, the big news in sports for quite some time was yesterday. Gary Bettman went live with a press conference talking about plans to bring hockey back. Here he is saying he is hopeful they can resume play.
While we are hopeful, it is our goal that we will be able to resume play and award the Stanley Cup. We intend to do so within a time frame that will enable us to get back to a full calendar for the 2021 season. At the same time, we remain focused on the safety of our players, coaches, support staff, and arena personnel. We will not set dates, choose sites, or begin to play until we know it is appropriate and prudent and are approved to do so.
Hi, that is Gary Bettman yesterday. He elaborated on, look, our plan is not perfect, but we'll see. This is on NBCSN.
I am certain that depending on which team you root for, you can find some element of this package that you might prefer to be done differently. But we believe we have constructed an overall plan that includes all teams that, as a practical matter, might have had a chance of qualifying for the playoffs when the season was paused. And this plan will produce a worthy Stanley Cup champion who will have run the postseason gauntlet that is unique to the NHL.
Unless you're a Red Wings fan, you're screwed. You're screwed.
Well, a couple other teams too, five or six other teams, but yeah, and it's going to be interesting again to see what the two hub cities are. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he wants one to be in Canada, but don't know if that's going to be the case.
Here's Mark Cuban. Now it's the eyes fall on the NBA on how they're going to come back. He wants to tweak their playoff structure.
I want to change things around. You know me. I'm a mover and shaker. I want to experiment. And so I think, you know, what I proposed was that we extend the playoff format to 10 teams from each conference and play at least five games prior to going into playoffs. And if we do that, every team in the Eastern Conference would have a chance at least of making the playoffs, and all but two in the Western Conference would do it.
All right, so that's Cubes with his idea. Here's a follow-up thought on NBCSN about expanding the playoffs.
Once we got 10 and 10, I would reseed them, and then 17 would play 20, and 18 would play 19 in a one-game series. The winner then would take on the eighth-place seed in a best-of-five, while the number one team from each conference would get a bye. Then you go forward normally from there. That gives us a chance to have some more playoff games, some more excitement, some more meaningful games. That gives almost every team a chance when we come back for whatever's going to be left of our regular season to do something interesting and compete for something. So I think we've got to change it up some. We can't just go the old tried and true way.
Totally disagree. No one cares about 17 versus 20 or 18 versus 19 any more than they would if the Detroit Red Wings were playing the Ottawa Senators. That means nothing.
The one reason it could work is you got that because it's a one game instead of a seven game, and it's at a neutral site, so you could eliminate some teams pretty quickly, I guess. I'm trying to think. I'm trying to think differently. I'm trying to think outside the box.
I don't think you need 20 teams. I don't.
I don't necessarily do either. You know me. I'm not for expansion. But in the West, don't you have like four or five teams that are all within two games of each other? And maybe that's where
That is true. You know, maybe you're right. That is true. I mean, I'm glad. I like what Bettman did with the playoff. The four teams getting a bye, and I understand that 24 almost. I don't know if we need 24, but again, he's taking into consideration who was close to that eighth seed. Same thing. So yeah, maybe Cuban has a point.
All right, here's Brian Gumbel on HBO Real Sports. He's asking Player Association reps from the NBA, NFL, and MLB if they will resume play.
On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being I'm absolutely certain, is there, your player's going to be playing before 2020 is done? D?
Tony?
I will tell you, I remain optimistic. I do. I know that's not a number, but I do remain optimistic. And as
give me a number. Six, seven?
A seven would be a C. Eight would be a B. Eight and a half, maybe a B plus. I am in the B plus range. I was an A minus, B plus student, so I'll land there. But I'll tell you, it's really not that simple. Even today, got an update as to how, we don't know everything we want to know and how things are continuing to change. But I do remain optimistic that we'll get back out there.
Can you give me a number, Michelle? NBA?
No, I'll give you a six. It was probably an eight last week. I've gotten some recent concerns expressed by players now that babies, children have been infected. So heightened concerns have come into the conversation. So I'd say a six.
All right. D, I'll give you the last word, the last number.
Well, yeah, UVA law graded on a curve. So I'm going to go with a, probably a 6-7. But, look, a lot depends on what happens with the other sports. And to say that we aren't looking at what's going to be happening in basketball and baseball, and we're not looking at how they work through these things, I'd be lying to you if we're not. So how about if I go with 6-7 on a curve?
All right.
Yeah, I think I've heard a lot of these, rankings, and most people fall within 6-7. For NBA, for NHL and NBA, I'm going nines.
Yeah, I am too.
I'm going nines. I'm sorry.
That's
It is going to happen. I'm going nines. And
now baseball, how low are you on baseball? Are you like a four?
I'm less than a four.
Are you
I'm
really?
Like a
okay.
Two. I'm yeah. like a two.
Wow.
No, I don't see people like. Unless they're going to play without some of these stars on the team, I don't know. But when you have Gerrit Cole going to lose $28 million, I don't see him doing it.
Marcus Stroman of the Mets says that he's not very confident that they're going to play. He made that comment yesterday, and he's now working on life after baseball projects now. He ain't expecting to come back. So we'll see. Hey, Rick, let's squeeze in one more soundbite here. You know all the rumors about Mike Tyson getting himself in shape and maybe boxing again, whether it be for charity or maybe even for real. There's a few proposals out there. Maybe MMA. There's a lot of things floating around Mike Tyson's world right now. Here's Tyson Fury on BT Sports. Talk about whether Tyson Fury versus Mike Tyson could happen.
Now it's Holyfield and Mike Tyson talking about having a charity match, aren't they? Do you think that's something that should be even sanctioned, or just think it's like two fellas, just two game fighters who are doing fighting talk?
Yeah, right. I'm not really too sure, but I did get a phone call with a chance to fight Mike Tyson. I was like, what? Yeah, I had a phone call saying, "Oh, would you like to fight Mike Tyson in an exhibition fight?" I was like, "Hell yeah!" Well, I don't think anything's materialised out of it, to be honest. So yeah, I think he's definitely serious about doing some fights or whatever.
They're throwing around some crazy money. I think we are going to see Mike Tyson in a ring somehow. You want to call it an exhibition? Is it going to be a real fight? I don't know. I don't know the format. You're going to see Mike Tyson fighting.
I hope the chops get it done.
The chops will get it done.
I love it.
Too much green out there, as Pete Shepard
would say. I'd pay for it. I would not pay for a lot of other fights. I would pay for Holyfield and Tyson again. I would.
The Craig man might even get the crowbar out and open up his wallet. I might.
You don't need to. You steal. Oh. You're already on the FCC blacklist,
I find
the FBI. FCC.
I'm afforded
FBI.
Opportunities elsewhere, and that's not stealing.
It is.
Coming up, a crazy, crazy story involving Bobby Hurley and Arizona State, his wife, the AD, the biggest booster on campus. It's nuts. Mm. Plus, Keith Smith will join us from Yahoo Sports. We'll talk some NBA at the bottom of the hour.
And Debbie Downer from your Lions team doctor as well, by the way. We'll get to that.
What?
Just came out about 5 minutes. Yeah,
I am unaware of this.
That just happened about 5 minutes ago. I didn't want to ruin your moment while you were doing Sound Street.
Okay. All right. I will stay tuned for that. Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.